This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And this morning we woke up with a lot of fog. It was very eerie, but very beautiful. Now, this entire hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Because I am devoting the entire hour to an exciting new young author. But before I introduce her, I want to just mention that last week I interviewed a fantastic writer, Johnny Clark, and his interview is featured on my archive page. If you go to www.radio-joyonpaper, you can listen to it. Johnny is a real American hero. He was awarded a Silver Star and 3 Purple Hearts. And his books are really great, and I will talk more about them after, towards the end of the show. But the interview reminded me of something that I had been wanting to talk about, that you never know who is a writer. Now, Johnny, when he came back from Vietnam, he became a mailman. And, you know, when you see people, you don't know what's the story behind them. And it's always interesting to not just look at what they're doing now, but to get involved and to ask people what they're doing. And so Johnny was a mailman, and he turned out, took some writing classes, and became a really excellent writer. And you never know who has talent. Perhaps you're an insurance salesman. Do you realize that, somebody very, very famous, somebody that everybody has ever, read, Tom Clancy, was an insurance salesman for years, and was just writing a little bit here and there until, poop, suddenly everything clicked for him. And he never had to sell insurance again, and he became the best-selling author, I think, in the United States for so many years. So it's always interesting to not just look at a person for what they're doing today, but for what are the possibilities. I was talking to a girl in Wawa's the other day, and she's writing a book of poetry. No, you look at her and you say, well, she's just somebody working behind the as a clerk. But she actually has big dreams and writes beautiful poetry. She gave me one of her poems, and I think it's just delightful. So always think about what's behind. I like to know the story behind a book and where it comes from. So always talk to people and find out what they're doing. And I'm sure there's a book in you. And maybe you should start writing, and then you have something interesting to talk to people about. But now to my guest. Oh, wow. This is exciting for me because, when somebody is doing everything right, it's amazing. Now, back in October, I suggested to all of my listeners that they get involved in the National Novel Writing Month, which is November, 30 days to write 50,000 words. Now, some of you did it, and it's an amazing effort to write 50,000 words. That's 1,667 words every day, at least. And so my guest today, Katie Price, did it. And we're going to talk to her about that. But we're going to talk to her about her entire approach to jumping into the world of writing, because she's doing everything right. Not only did she take part in NaNoWriMo, whichever way you want to pronounce it, the National Month for Writing, she also is on Wattpad. And how high did you rank there?
The highest I got was number 582 in science fiction.
Well, so this is K.D. Price.
Good morning, everyone.
It's so delightful to have KD in here because it's K period D period her initials. Do you want me to call you KD or you want me to
You can call me whatever you like, Patsy.
Well, I call you sweetie because you are so delightful. It's just absolutely delightful to have you here. And from the first time I met her, I had a inkling there that this was a budding talent. And then to find out how she has just in really, what, a year, you have just thrown yourself into the ring and to the point that she has now actually broken that barrier that so many writers never get through. And she has jumped the fence and is actually talking to a real New York City literary agent. So it's a thrill to have you here, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me, Patsy. I'm so honored.
Well, you know, when I suggested to people that they try NaNoWriMo, I heard from a few people who did or who started and some didn't finish. But what happened with your...
Well, I heard about NaNoWriMo on your show, and I immediately looked it up, and I said, wow, this sounds like something that could really give me a boost. You know, just I'm in editing of my first novel. It's a very tedious process, as you well know. And I said, I really just need something to really energize me, and I'm going to do it.
And you did it. So what was it like?
It was incredible. It was exhilarating. It was exhausting. But it was overall just a wonderful experience.
So explain to the listeners, what is the process? You heard about it. You went to their website, and they gave you some advice. What was that?
I went on their website, and they have profiles for each author. There's a network, so it's not just a program. What's beautiful about it, it's a network of authors encouraging one another. And that's what I found here in Clearwater in St. Pete, and that's what I found online on NaNoWriMo.
And now the goal was to finish in 30 days, 50,000 words, and you did that.
Yes, ma'am.
How many did you go over?
I did. I wrote a day, finished a day early.
Oh, wow.
I had over 50,000 words, and now the novel is 52,000. I'm still working on it because I realized at 50,000 it wasn't going to be finished. It was going to be longer than that.
Well, I don't know the exact count for this year, but last year they had 430,000 participants all around the world. Of course, many in America, but every continent. There were people coming from every place in Antarctica, practically. I think somebody even was sent in a submission. And this is their 18th year, and it is a fantastic opportunity for writers to really get into the swing of things. Because if you haven't done it before, it's a challenge, okay, and you really enjoyed it. When you were working, did you set yourself a goal every day, or did you have certain days that you...
So another thing I learned from you is the program called Scrivener.
Ah.
Scrivener was a huge help in NaNoWriMo because it allowed me in the project statistics to set up the daily goal of 1,667 words. So every day I could, as I wrote, I could watch that meter move from the red to the orange to the yellow to the green, and then I knew, okay, at least I got this far.
Wow. So now, you know, I'm sure that you read about some of the success stories of the NaNoWriMo events. And one of them, of course, is Water for Elephants.
Yes.
Was written by Sarah Gruen. And that book became such a huge bestseller for over a year. It was on the bestseller list. And they turned it into a movie with Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting. Now, of course, you don't, if you do a novel in 1 month, it's not going to be perfect at the end of that month. But then sometimes you do a novel in a year and it's still not perfect. So it's all a matter of just getting it down on paper and being ready then once it's done to go back and to revise and revise and revise.
Absolutely.
And one of the most successful people is Hugh Howey, who wrote Wool. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
Wow. I'm trying to get him on the program. He is so busy. This is a man who really went into, first he went, sold his books himself.
Wow.
And they're science fiction, very exciting science fiction. And he actually sold thousands, tens of thousands of books as e-books before he got a publisher.
Wow.
And then once he got a, once the publishers realized that he was such a success with selling his ebooks by himself, just on his own, and then also some actually he filled the trunk of his car with books and went around the country selling. And when he had a really had already sold, I think maybe 30, 40, 50,000 books, he got a six-figure deal from a publisher. And I'm talking a high six-figure deal. So it was really exciting for him. So NaNoWriMo can really launch you. And if nothing else, it spurs you on to get this idea that you can finish something. So tell us a little bit about the book that you came out with. How did you have a few weeks to prepare for it? Did you have to plan it out, or
well,
you didn't?
I didn't really, because I heard about it in October on your show.
Okay.
But I went to also the Florida Writers Association conference, which was in Altamont Springs in October. It was the end of October, right before Halloween. And I met so many amazing authors there. I'm a part of the Florida Writers Association. I mainly attend the St. Pete group, which is led by Bria Burton, who you've interviewed a couple times. Bria's amazing.
She is.
So I went there. I learned so much about how to, you know, formal training about how to write. And so that gave me a structure to work with. And I had a small idea from a nightmare that I had. And I wrote it down. I said, you know what? This is all I have for right now other than my novel. And I said, well, I'm going to write it down. Let's see what it turns into.
And it just flowed from there?
Yes. I spoke with a couple agents, as you said, at the conference. And one of them asked me if I had any YA, which is young adult, obviously. And I did not. So my first novel is an adult novel. But I said, you know, I love YA. That's a lot of what I read. And she said, you know, if you write some YA, I want you to send me that along with your novel. So I said, you know what? NaNoWriMo's coming around the corner. The stars were aligning. I'm going to write a YA novel. So that's what I did.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And so we're happy with the ending? And
yes, the ending I'm still writing. It's supernatural and horror. I'm glad it's young adult because I am actually a chicken, a professional chicken. I do not like scary movies. I do not like really anything creepy. The more real, the creepier it is to me. But I liked growing up Goosebumps and R.L. Stine.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of has that feel to it where it's scary but not so scary that, you know, you should have nightmares of your own.
So now you finished that, or you're already trying to edit that one too?
Yes. I'm going to wait, though. I'm going to get the first one out the door. And then right now I'm in the middle of that review process, so I have a couple of partial manuscripts out to a couple of New York agents.
Ooh.
And yes, it's very, now I'm in the wait period. I'm going to query a few more agents. I want to query many of the agents that you have interviewed, so that's where I am now on that. Then after I get through that process, then I will revise that NaNoWriMo novel for the following year.
Well, the exciting thing is that you have actually gotten through to real agents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is always the most difficult thing, and you managed to get sort of cut through by attending one of the conferences. And that was the one in Altamont Springs?
Yes, ma'am.
And you did pitches there? How did that go?
Oh, I just got a chill just thinking about them. I was so nervous. My palms were sweating. I was glad I had a jacket on because I was sweating through my shirt. I was absolutely nervous. But they have classes set up. The first few classes and speeches of the conference are about pitching your novel, queries, agents, and how to speak with agents. And so I felt somewhat prepared listening to you talk to agents week after week. I know they're people. I think that was the first.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Sometimes people just freeze and then get scared. And they're just wonderful people who love books.
Yes.
And are looking for talent. And when they spot it, they are ready to jump in.
They jump right in.
Exactly. So they must have seen, well, I think they saw what I saw in you, this absolute fantastic spirit and courage, because it takes a lot today to be out there in the marketplace. you have to really push yourself, and you have to be willing to get out there and talk and just, well, charm people into buying your book. And it, you're doing a great job of it.
Thank you, Patsy.
So your book that you have now out with the agents, and that you're going to be doing some more querying, that's called Taboo Descendants?
Taboo Descendants, The Unlikely Heroes.
And I'm looking forward to when that is published, because it is a very fascinating book, a fantasy, romance, sci-fi, very, very well done. And I've been so privileged that you let me read it, and I'm really thrilled with it. And I have a feeling that the agents are going to find the same thing. But as I had said to you and to all the listeners, that you have to get out there and write. And I know that you did a lovely short story.
Oh, thank you.
I just love it. It's called To Serve Man or Die. And tell us about how you did that.
So that was another one of your brainchild children. Listening to your program again, I always feel so inspired. You were interviewing with Nikki Drayden.
Yeah.
And talking about her short stories. And I went on her website. I got to chat with her. I got a bunch of her short stories. I said, you know what? She encouraged me as well. And I said, I'm going to try to write a short story. So I put my novel down that I've been obsessing over for 7 years. I put it down, uh-huh. And I said, okay, I'm going to write a short story. What do I love? And there are lots of things that I love. But I decided to try a fan fiction. So The Twilight Zone, one of my favorite shows. They have it now on YouTube and anywhere you can watch, you know, videos, Hulu, Netflix. And I picked one of my favorite episodes, To Serve Man. And it's about an alien invasion that seems like the aliens are going to be good and help man progress. But it turns out they actually just want to eat us. So my novel picks up after the show ends. And the main character, he is trying to win back his colleague, female colleague. And it turns out that, you know, I love romance. He has a romantic motivation to save her. And he convinces the alien that at least one of them, that they must be let go to return to Earth because they love each other so much.
Well, you know, fan fiction is very popular. And for people who don't know what it is, it's taking a subject, like a program in your case, that you really like. Sometimes it's a book that you really like. And then just going off on that and trying to keep the character of the story the same. And just to come out with new versions or new ideas that follow it. And
yes.
I think you did that beautifully with
this.
Thank
you.
Because it really, I had so much fun. When I read the story, I vaguely remembered it because I hadn't watched Twilight Zone for many years. And so then I went and I watched Twilight Zone, that episode, and then went and read your story again. And I thought, this is just a perfect little story. Very clever and very beautifully done. And people can read that on your website.
On Wattpad, and there's a link to Wattpad on my website, yes.
Okay, and they can go and see that. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes, but I want to just mention, I'm going to mention some of the books that I recommend that you buy for Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts. And I want to mention again Johnny Clark, and I just finished his No Better Way to Die, which I think it's just a fabulous book. And for anyone who loves the military, loves American heroes, this is a wonderful book. And, of course, his big best-selling book, Guns Up, I think is in the 34th printing. And that is also just a wonderful gift for any military people in your life. But I found what I really liked about Johnny's book, No Better Way to Die, Now I Just Got Old Corps, is that he did something which he was told not to do, but he did it. He removed all the really, really vulgar language. Now, we know that Marines, and especially Marines in battle, probably use a lot of dirty words. Okay, we know that. But he was inspired. He had written it that way with the dirty language in it. And then he was inspired that if he took these words out, and he had was rejected everywhere he went, every place he sent it for years. He sent it out and was rejected. And then he took the really offensive words out and resubmitted it, and it was accepted. And the wonderful thing about it is that it makes it more accessible, for example, for women. We all know that Marines probably say bad words when they're getting shot and they're bleeding and they've just, you know, had their hand blown off or something. And I'm sure all of us would use bad words at that point. But we really don't need to see them and don't need to, you know, there's a limit to, let's say, what we want to see written down on paper. This is a problem for all writers today. You have to decide your audience. And so for women, I think, because it's a story about a real hero, and I just loved the book, and there weren't any bad words, and I'm sure, you know, it didn't ruin the book at all. I think if anything, it improved it. So I highly recommend Johnny Clark. And then I want to again recommend Gina Bardi. I just love this book. This is an adorable book. It's called A Cow in the Doorway. It is now available on Amazon in paperback format, and all of these books are also available at the Miami Avenue Book Nook, and they're just wonderful gifts. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Katie Price about her experience with Wattpad, and we'll talk about some other books that I recommend for you to buy for gifts. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side, on the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I'm back with my very special guest, K.D. Price. I call her the Wonder Girl of the new generation of writers who embrace every way that they can to get out there to their readers. And let's talk for a minute about your excursion into Wattpad.
That has been interesting. So Wattpad, for anyone that doesn't know, is a free website where authors and novice writers post their works for everyone to read for free. And it's mainly used for feedback to build your writer's platform, which you talk about a lot, Patsy, and to just reach the reader in a very intimate way.
And now when you how do you go about it? You just sign up and you start submitting your work.
Yes. So you can sign up and start submitting work, or you can sign up and start reading.
Now, about 3 or 4 months ago, I had a wonderful author on, Ashley Royer, who Boy, she did this. She did fan fiction. She took some of her favorite fan, you know, submissions that she started writing and promoting different stories. And within, I think, about 6 months, she had 30 million reads. 30 million.
It's incredible.
So it was really quite astounding. And it led to her getting a contract, a nice, big, again, a six-figure contract to write a book. And she hadn't even written the book, you know, and she gets the contract before she's even written it. And she got it based on having 30 million clicks. I mean, this is, woo! Now, another author, Anna Todd, whose work is called After, she got a billion clicks.
Wow. That's incredible.
And so she also has now received a major contract. So it is, this is something that really, this is just in the past few years that it has taken on a life of its own and really can propel a writer forward. It's amazing.
It is.
And so when you put your work on and people started reading it, was that exciting?
Yes, it was exciting. The first few reads and comments and likes, very exciting.
And then you, what do you do? Did you do it a little bit at a time?
Or? I posted the whole book.
Uh-huh.
You have to post chapter by chapter. I posted the whole book from prologue to the last chapter all at once.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've found out since then, it is best to post a little bit at a time.
Exactly, to build it up.
That's
exactly what Ashley did. She was actually doing it like once a week. She'd put a little bit, and then she would get people excited that something more is coming. And so it's, of course, now you've had this learning experience that sometimes you get excited and you say, oh, I want to do it all. But it sometimes is. But it's a learning experience.
It is.
This is something new. And writers just have to try all of these different things. It's a completely different world for writers today, because not only do you have to do things like this, like NaNoWriMo, you have to be on Facebook, Twitter, and be very active to get to build this platform of readers.
Absolutely.
And now when you got comments back, was that exciting?
Yes. They actually had an event on Wattpad. They do a lot of events. But I actually had another author who was more established offer to read and critique my first three chapters. So he actually critiqued the prologue and the first two chapters. It was very nerve-wracking at first. Because I wasn't sure how I would receive the critique. I'm just nervous just talking about it. But once I got through it and I realized, okay, this is just the first of many. And I realized in order for the book to be good as I want it to be, as good as I can make it, I need this feedback. And once I accepted it and embraced it, then I was fine.
Yes, that is always the most difficult thing. Because when we finish a book, we think, that's it. The baby's born. Oh, okay, get out there and start making money for me, kid. You know, but that doesn't normally happen. You have to, you know, nurture that kid along and keep it growing and getting better and better. And then at some point, woo, you know.
Right.
So
I embraced the revision process now. I was disheartened at first. You know, you write a novel and you're like, yes, especially if it takes years because you were writing in a bubble instead of getting out and being in the author world. And then you realize this is just the beginning, like you said. So
yeah, it's very important not to take it personally. It's not a personal, you know, I don't like this part. It's that people who read and people who, they want it to be better and they want to help you, especially, you know, when you're working with, well, and there are so many nice people out there who really, they read something and they'll say, you know, I like this. If you just did this, if you did this, if you watched that, and that's the whole sort of process that you have to go through. And all writers go through it. And even the very big ones, you know, they get to that point where they need somebody, you know. And so I was going to, I talked a few weeks ago, and I wanted to hold up this book because this is a fantastic book, and I want to talk to you a little, readers. This is a wonderful sci-fi book, Leigh Bardugo, and it's called Crooked Kingdom, and it's a sci-fi book. And the beautiful thing about it is, it's a fantastic,
lovely book.
And the thing is, she also, I mean, she was rejected in the beginning, and her first book went through the same process of, you know, revision and changes and making improvements. And luckily, again, she got through eventually to an agent, and the agent, of course, helped her, and they worked for quite a while to get the first book perfect. And then every time it does get a little bit easier, you know, as you write and as you sort of know what to expect and know what they're looking for. So it does get easier, and always the first one is always the most difficult. But, you know, it's like any woman who's had 8 babies. Oh, the first one was tough. After that, it's easy. So, you know, so you get, can you imagine people like Mary Higgins Clark, who's like on her 56th book or something?
It's incredible.
You know, it's, and she, Mary Higgins Clark is, her birthday is Christmas Eve.
And you had her on for Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, and she's going to be 85 years old.
Oh, wow.
And everybody should go to her Facebook page and wish her Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday. And the beautiful thing is, she's 85. She's coming out. Well, she just came out with one book. It's already a bestseller. And she's coming out with another book soon after this. And I'm sure it's going to be another bestseller. That's the lovely thing about writing. You can keep going.
I love that.
You don't have to, you know. Age doesn't stop you in this. So, no, it's fantastic. And, of course, you started writing when you were young.
Yes.
And you're going to be writing until you're 120.
I sure hope so.
and getting better all the time. And this is the wonderful thing about writing, is that it can come to you at any time in your life. You might start when you're young, and then you have times in your life when you can't write. You've got other things to do. You have to make money. You have to survive. And then you can come back to it. And it's just so wonderful to see the enthusiasm of somebody who comes back to writing or starts writing after they retire. I love that. As somebody like Gino Bardi, who I mentioned, and David Edmonds, is another writer who is a local author. He wrote a book called Lilia Peru. It is a fantastic book. It is so well written. And as a matter of fact, it's one of those books where you read it, and he is so descriptive that I saw the entire book. It was hard for me not to believe when I finished it that it wasn't a movie. Mm. I mean, I could see everything. It takes place, of course, Lilia Peru, in Peru. And it was just so beautifully done that I just still marvel. Sometimes I can close my eyes and see the scenes. And this is fantastic. And of course, he came to writing late. And another writer, she's not quite as old. She retired early. I think she looks almost like a teenager. She looks so young. And she tells me she's retired. But that's Rita Moreau. And she wrote this fantastic book called Feisty Nuns. It is a funny, funny book. And just a delightful mystery. And again, her book and David Edmonds' book are available at the Miami Avenue Book Nook. And we're looking forward to when Kenesha gets her book deal. And she's going to get one. And I know she will. But boy, oh boy, when she does, I am going to host the biggest party you can imagine at Miami Avenue for her. Because when I first met her when I gave a speech at St. Petersburg Library for Writers, I was immediately taken with her, this enthusiasm. Because so often what happens is writing is a very lonely process. And a difficult process. It takes a lot out of you, but you have to get out there and have this enthusiasm, because nobody will give it to you. And even when you have a big agent and you have a big publisher, It does not mean that they're going to do the work for you.
Right.
You have to get out there and sell your book and sell yourself. And so it's so fantastic that you have this. And that's why I immediately, when I met you and then I got to read a little bit of your book at that time, that I realized that you've got something special going on with you.
Thank you, Patsy.
So I know that we're going to have a major book signing for you at some point. I hope in the near future, but there will be revisions, and
yes.
That takes time. It's a a process of working and learning, and of course this is one of the important things people don't realize, that an agent, one of the things they look at in a writer is, are you willing to work with me? Mm. Because if they meet a writer who says, well, I think it's perfect, I might change a few little things, that attitude will not get you very far.
No.
They want to make money. People don't understand that agents make money if your book sells. And so it's up to them, to spend their time with people who will actually be able to produce for them. So it's not always that you have a good book, but if you don't have a good attitude, you're in the same situation. So tell me, when you are now, of course, you work full time, you have,
yes,
a full time job, so you have to find all this extra time in your life.
Yes.
And but you do, and you as you said, this first book has taken, you've been working on it on and off for 7 years.
Yes, because of work mainly.
But I'm glad to see that you made that final push and got it out there.
Yes, it was exciting to finally finish. I remember I screamed, yes, it was almost like victory. I didn't know about the revision part yet.
Yes, but I always warn people about that, because, it is a thing that you have to know that.
But it's so important.
But it also gives you time, because one of the important things, and what Kanisha is going to be doing now, all through this next, we'll say at least a year of revisions. There will be a year. It's not going to be less. She is going to be building up her network of connections. Because ideally, you want to have, when you do a book launch, you want to have 1,000 friends. I mean, 1,000 friends who are going to buy the book. You can do this by what Kanisha's doing, networking, the Wattpad people who are following you. You want to keep up the connection with them. You want to add more stories. You want to find more people to read your work. And you want to build up your Facebook list of all the followers that you can. And then, of course, you want to build up a mailing list. So often, writers don't understand that if you have a mailing list, that when it's time for your book to be published, a month before, for example, you can pre-order Mary Higgins Clark. Many people, when they finish reading one Mary Higgins Clark, they are already pre-ordering a year in advance her next book. So by the time they launch that book, she's already has pre-ordered of tens of thousands of books.
Right.
I mean, so they know they've got a bestseller. So, of course, that's why she can demand big bucks. She got $1 million advance for one little book that she had written 40 years ago. And when she said, okay, they decided to publish it after 40 years, she got $1 million advance.
That's amazing.
Just on that, because they knew the minute the word was out that she had a book, she was going to get these pre-orders. So for all of you authors out there, a minimum 100 people, you should have 100 pre-orders on Amazon. Now, it's not easy, but it's making connections, just finding and, making these connections to other writers, to people who enjoy your type of work, and just encouraging them to be out there and to sell to buy your book pre-order or on the first week, because that makes all the difference as to whether or not you're going to have a bestseller.
Yes, I agree absolutely with that. And I mean, it's the same thing we do. As most authors are avid readers, and we are fans of bigger name authors, and that's what we do for them. We're part of their army of readers, so we're trying to build that ourselves.
Which reminds me of somebody that you met. Oh, I'm so jealous. She met perhaps one of my, an author that I am so thrilled with that I am going to have him back in January.
Oh, that's great.
And tell us about this.
Amor, he was amazing.
Amor Towards, who wrote A Gentleman in Moscow.
Wonderful book.
Oh, fantastic book.
I was so glad you recommended it. I was working the day you, I'm working every day your program's on, but I remember in particular, I was going on my lunch break. I tried to time my lunch breaks for your program, and Amor was on, and you were talking about his book, and I said, I have to have that book. So I went on Amazon. I'm an Amazon Prime member, so it was there 2 days later. And I started reading it. I went on vacation, forgot the book in the car when I went to the airport, and had to get the digital copy because I just couldn't stand being away from it. But I got to meet him a few weeks ago in St. Petersburg, and he was so kind, very nice man, and so talented.
And A Gentleman in Moscow is certainly, I think, one of my favorite books ever, and certainly for 2016. It is at the top of my list. It just takes you into this world. He writes about a man who is essentially put into a hotel in Moscow, and he's not ever allowed. This is like a prison sentence. He's not allowed to leave the hotel. And the story of this hotel and of the count that he is writing about is so fantastic and so... Again, one of these books, an author who takes you there.
You're there.
And puts you in the hotel. And you just, it was hard to put down.
Yeah, you can see it. You can smell it.
And you have to
taste
the food.
It.
You have to taste it. I mean, I was buying fresh strawberries, and he writes about apples so vividly. I had to go out to the farmer's market and pick up a selection of apples. And to see if I could just find that one apple that thrilled me as much as the apples thrilled him.
Yeah. I tried brandy for the first time on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was there, and I had my brandy on ice, and I'm reading my book, and I just felt refined.
Yeah.
It's so well written. His descriptions are excellent. He has painted a couple of his readers actually went to the hotel because he wrote about it so explicitly and so beautifully that they had to see it for themselves, and I could see myself doing that.
Oh, I can too, and certainly it would just be wonderful. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about that. Maybe we'll put that on at the Miami Avenue Book Nook. We'll put on a Gentleman in Moscow luncheon.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And we'll serve everything that he writes in that,
and everyone has to dress the part.
Oh, yeah. Now, did I just come out with a brilliant idea?
That was an excellent idea.
Is that an excellent idea?
Yes.
That is going to be fun. Wow. Because, as I said, I'm so thrilled with him. And he's going to be back on January 10th, my second guest of the new year, because I want to talk to him about just how he did it. I mean, each paragraph, if you go back, and this is one of those books where you want to read it and you want to analyze it after you've read it like three times just for fun, then if you actually take it and break it down paragraph by paragraph, and see how he did it.
Mm-hmm. Lots of research.
Yes, lots of research and the nuances. And it's not a mystery or anything, but there's a suspense that goes throughout the book that he just carries so beautifully. And so I'm really excited that he's agreed to come on.
I'm glad he's coming back. That's going to be a fun show.
He's just delightful. And I have the picture of you with him up on my website. On the front page of the website there. So I was just looking at it, flowing
it's
by.
It's very exciting to meet him. And I just, I felt like a fangirl is what a lot of the teenagers call it. I had to look up a lot of teenager language in the last month. So
oh,
because of YA. I realize I'm not as young as I used to be.
Oh, yes. That's funny. Yeah, I get all of these YA books, and I... Yes, okay, yeah. So I'm getting better on it. But it is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you did of going to meet him and getting a selfie. And this is one of the things that really is so wonderful about these book fests and these readers events, where you can go out and meet your favorite authors and get selfies with them. And
they sign your books.
And they sign your books. Ooh, it's something to treasure. And so Amor is at the top of my list as authors for this year and for every year. As a matter of fact, as I told him, I actually found him a spot there on my Russian bookshelf. I mean, I have like many bookshelves of Russian books because, I mean, when you're a novelist and you want to understand beautiful writing, you have to look at the Russians. And he's the only American that I have on my Russian book.
That's impressive.
Because he belongs there. He did such a beautiful job. Now, I want to talk a few minutes. I have a few minutes. I want to talk about a few of the other writers that are at the Book Nook. You know, one of the ones, I don't know if you've read her books yet, and this is fantastic, Angela Hunt. Angela Hunt is an author who, she wrote the book based on the movie Risen. And it's a very clever idea what she did. She took all of the women in the Bible and she's writing all of their stories. Putting them into novels and writing, filling out the story. Now, she has a background. She has a doctorate in religion. So she knows what she's writing about.
Yes.
You know, so her research is perfect. Oh, and her understanding of biblical time. Again, another author who takes you there. When you're reading her books, you really feel like you're there in Israel, following in the footsteps of all of these great, heroines of the Bible. And her books are also at the Book Nook. And each one is just so fascinating. Delilah and Jezebel and all of them. And wonderful books and perfect at this time of the year to give to people for gifts, and I highly recommend hers. And of course, one of my favorite local authors is Carol J. Perry, and she writes the Witch City Mysteries. And you must read these because they are just wonderful, wonderful little mysteries that are so well done. And she's coming out with her fourth one in February, and we're going to have a big event for her for that coming out because I want to... really try to help her get to be a best-selling author. And one of the things to do that, when you want to get to the best-selling status, you need to sell at least 1,000 books in that first week combine the pre-orders and that first week. You need to sell 1,000 books. And if you can do that, that can really propel you up on the Amazon list. And so once you're higher on the Amazon list, then other people start buying it. So it's a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I want to really work on having 1,000 local people go out there and buy this book. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know if I want a Mr. Little Mystery. These books are ideal for you to donate to one of the things when you're driving along and you have in your neighborhood a senior's home. Mm-hmm. And you see a senior's home and you sort of think, well, how you sort of don't want to actually look at it because you don't want to imagine yourself someday having to live in a senior's home. But these people love books. They love to read. And to buy a book for them is just a wonderful, wonderful Absolutely. Gift you can do. Mm-hmm. So just pick up a book and donate it. Donate it to a hospital or in the case of like Johnny Clark's books, which are military books, if you want to do something nice for the vets, buy some of his books and donate them to VA. Mm-hmm. The guys at the VA hospital will love Johnny Clark's books. They are real American hero books. And another one I can't recommend enough is, this is especially for anyone who is thinking about, you have your story in your own family and something you want to preserve. Well, I am so thrilled when I met Ray and Trish Arredondo. They wrote a book about Ray's mother, and it's called Maria's Journey. And it is a really well done, again, well researched book about Ray's mother and her story of coming to America to find a better life for her children. And she was born during the Mexican Revolution, and her name was Maria Perez, and she came over the border, and she came through to America to find a better life. And this is a very telling story, and at this time when we're talking so much about immigration, here is a woman who came to make a better life for her family, and she did it. And it's a story that sort of weaves through all of that period in the 1920s and eventually through, you know, the up to Chicago and around America and through the Depression and even through World War II. And Trish and Ray have written a very heartwarming story about his mother and his family. And it is an example, if you're thinking of writing your story, your family story, we're all, most all immigrants, and we all have, you know, grandparents' stories of them coming here and what they did. And you want to preserve these stories. These are important stories.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, wherever they came from and whether they came because they wanted to or because they were brought here. But the stories are there, and the trials and tribulations that they went through and what they sacrificed, whether so many of them, you know, were in the military and they fought for their country, or they worked hard in, you know, to bring each generation of their family a little bit better, a little bit closer to success. And these stories should be preserved. So if you read Maria's Journey, it'll give you an example of what you want to aim for. There's a lot. You can see the kind of research you want to put in there and just the kind of writing that will carry your story and propel your story along and preserve it for the future. So I highly recommend Maria's Journey, and that's available, again, on Amazon or at the Book Nook. And I hope people will read that. And it's a lovely gift, again, to give for Christmas. And another book I want to recommend before I run out of time is Debbie Reynolds' Make 'Em Laugh. Again, a perfect book for anyone who has a grandmother or a mother who was was alive and you know, in the 50s. They all love that story. They all love to hear about Debbie Reynolds, and the book is very funny. So that's another book to buy. So those are my recommendations. And we cannot buy K.D. Price's book yet, but we will next year. I hope next Christmas we'll have it. And I want to thank you so much,
Thank you so much for
coming
having
in
me.
Today. You're delightful.
So
and
are you.
I know that you're going to be a great success. And meanwhile, I want to tell everyone to come back on Thursday, because on Thursday I'm going to have Karen from Barnes & Noble, and she's going to be giving us some more of her recommendations and also all of the events that are taking place at Barnes & Noble. And it's going to be lots of fun to hear from her. So just everybody, have a great day. Say something nice to somebody. I'll say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay. And thank you, Katie, for being in today.
Thanks,
it was
Ed.
Great.